God up in the field. We know that the story of Jonah, or our life was broken. We took a detour and the same thing. To get to the place that they were supposed to go to start with. You know, Jonah, that's just the rule of attention. And that's why I think people often talk about fish, maybe how big it is. Even when we go to the day, they're going to look like that big one. With the lightning of a man, and he's standing up in the fishing club and starting to explain about it. Raiders and puppet cats. Because after 3 hours, I land this terrific monster of a moon. And then a man in the room yelled out, I saw a picture of that fish, and it was only 6 inches long. And the ambulance replied back, but in 3 hours of fighting, a fish can lose a lot of weight. Well, the fish we talk about in James' name, the situation, is not really the big idea. That's not the main issue of this particular book. I don't know if you've ever had a notice, the very first words of the book of Jonah are set by the Lord. The very last words of the book of Jonah are set by the Lord. It might be interesting to think about. The Lord is mentioned nearly 40 times, depending on what particular version of the Bible you pick up, and Jonah is mentioned 18. That's quite a different business. So the emphasis of the book, what it's about, from beginning to end, is about the Lord and the message to his people. But not in a direct way, it's from the indirect way. It's about God, it's about his will, it's about his actions, it's about his judgment, and it's about his promises. It's all about those things. And a prophecy of Jonah is not a normal type of prophecy. It's not like God's glory that leaves the room, makes it come. Whereas a lot of the other prophecies are much more difficult. So since it's our book, then in a sense the person who learns the most is probably Jonah, the prophet himself. You have to think about that. You might say, well, what lesson is Jonah learning that we should be learning too? And one of the things that Jonah learns is that you receive a call from God that you obey is not an option. Obedience is not an option in God's call. And so, we want to have a look at that today. Let's start going back to chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against them, because the wickedness has come up before me. These two verses talk about, first of all, God's call to Jonah. And the very first thing we have is a message, the word of the Lord. This way, the Lord is not a suggestion between a couple of workmates and a wife to drive in or yard and a yard back. It's not like that at all. It's the word Lord is important. Most of your Bible will have the word Lord in capital. Whenever you see a word in the Bible like that, remember that's the word for Jehovah. We love him for the name for Yahweh, sorry. But that's the Lord. This is God. God who is all-powerful, omnipotent. God who is everywhere, all-present. God who knows everything, omniscient. This is a God who the Israelites knew had come and given a promise to their greatest ancestor Abraham, to his son Isaac, to his son Jacob. A promise of the latest to Israel. They knew this God. They knew him as the Creator. They knew him as the one who had provided for them in bringing them out of slavery in Egypt. The one who opened the sea up to Red Sea and let them cross. The one who provided a way to win the land that you and I know as Israel today. This one was the one who was giving a message to Jonah. The word of the Lord, it comes to you. And it's set part of the verses, and it came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Jonah was God's chosen servant. Jonah, no, his name actually means a dove, but someone said it sounds like a raven to attack Nineveh. But really, he should have been coming to bring a message of peace, like a dove. But we'll have a look at it, or someone will look at it when we look at Jonah chapter 3. But Jonah, this is not the only time Jonah's mentioned in the Bible. We know that. He's mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 13 to 25. We're told in that part that he comes to the place called Gath-hepha, there as a gentleman in the northern kingdom of Israel. And it's told in that passage that he's a prophet. And he ministered in the reign of a man called Jeroboam II. And during the reign of Jeroboam II, Israel, the northern kingdom at that time, was probably at the height of its power. Economically, it was a fantastic position. But early in that reign, Jonah prophesied that the kingdom of Israel would actually expand back to a certain stage, back to the time, the times of David and Solomon. And you actually read that in 2 Kings chapter 14. Jonah came and he gave a message from the Lord, and it came true. So he had a message coming from a proven servant of God. A proven servant. He's done things for God and God has honored him. So now we have this message coming. Verse 2. Call Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it. Because his wickedness has come up before thee. One of the other verses says it this way, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, or cry out against it, for their evil has come before me. The message is very clear. It's God's call. Jonah is told to go. He's told where he is to go. He's told what he is to say, and he's told why. That's what he's told. Those things. Go. The arise, the go and the cry are actually in the Hebrew imperative. When I think I hear the Hebrew student, an imperative is a command. It's not like I have a go at this, it's go and do it. Go and do it. If you sort of think of number of dad would say, there's two of them. Can't you clean your room? Now, just as a child may not actually respond to the imperative, you'll find out that Job will do the same. But the interesting thing is that this is a command from the Lord to Jonah to go. To go. A command to him. It's God's divine commission. Where is he to go? Well, he's probably going to Nineveh. Nineveh is a city built by, originally talked about by a man called Nimrod, which mentioned in Genesis. That 700 BC becomes the capital of the Syrian army and the Samaritan. And it's located on the Tigris River. If you have a map in your map of your Bible, you can look it up and you'll find where Nineveh is. That was a great city. I'm not going to talk much about the city because it's going to be free. You can read that the city would have taken 3 days to get around and to move through it. It's a big place. But it's an extremely cruel group of people. Known for torturing, and some of the writings about the Syrians talk about them. Beating up the skulls of their enemies in fire, they did amazing. One of the generals of Sennacherib, a man called Rabshakeh, has been about him in 2 Kings chapter 18. And the cry of the Syrians when they came to Jerusalem, spoke to King Hezekiah. Just reflect on this particular nation, the Syrians and their capital Nineveh. They are a cruel and wicked people, certainly against God. Mentioned in Naaman, there's a number of the wicked actions of Nineveh mentioned. You would have to have a look there. That's what he's to preach about their actions. He's to call or cry against them. The very fact that God says to Jonah, go and speak to them, means that Jonah has given them, by God's command, a warning, a chance to respond. That's part of his message. Otherwise, why would God send Jonah to tell them anyone? There was a chance for them to respond. Right from the very beginning, there was that opportunity. Go and warn them, cry against them, because their wickedness has come up before me. So this message to Jonah is to go and tell them that the God of Israel, the God who's the Creator, the one I described a little earlier, has known about your wickedness. If you don't change your actions, that's the message that he's to carry. That's the message that he's to share. That is God's will and purpose for him to go and to preach, to warn. But you know, this is why Jonah had a call to do that, so we have a call. You know, we know God's free will. I know God's free service for us. We need to share it with you. For instance, there are so many people that they can be saved, they can have the Holy Spirit in heaven, they can be free from the penalty of their own sin. They don't have to work to earn anything to get there. argument very clear in Scripture is that we are to, once we are followers of Jesus Christ, is to serve one another, to use the gifts that God has given us, to meet the needs, to encourage, to build up those boundaries. That's very clear. We all know that. And we know that. But you know, one of the problems you and I face is that we know that what we're meant to do. We know for those things, but our problem is, where? Where will I do that? That's an issue that can be struggled with. It's a common question. What is God's will for me? What is it? Particularly when we might have a lot of options standing before us. Options that might be like, first of all, here, maybe in my work, or I've heard about a need for a new church to study. Explaining, but that's exactly what you have to do in the room. You need to start to be involved in your church. Both of those things are good. Now, I've been learning that the work I do in my secular job is a good thing. And so is the other work, they're both good things. They're not one should be above the other. How do we know what to do? Where do we go? Well, these are questions that are very common. And then there are other questions. What is God's will for me? Who should I marry? Or should I quit this company and go off with another one? Or does God want to start a family now? Or should I wait? Or maybe, what college should I go to? Or do I do this degree or that degree? What ministry area should I concentrate in? Maybe questions are common. And the questions that I think play every person is a follower of Jesus Christ. Because most of us generally want to do what's wrong. Most of us, I'm not saying everyone does, but most of us do. But the very first thing you must do, if you want to do what God wants, you've got to give yourself to Him. And that means you have to trust in His way as you say, not in your way, because your way will not work. Your way is trusting in what you can do. And what you can do, the word of God says, is nothing. And that's for nothing. Jesus is the only way. We have to trust in Him. He is the only way to be righteous. The ones who take the next step is a separate place in which the free gift from God. What to do that? God works in the person's life to change them. And now, because they want to do what's right, we even don't want to do what He says to do, but there are troubles. Where am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? So we've got a bit of our help to make some decisions. I think it would be good for us to remember that God's will is determined in two sorts of ways. One way is to be revealed will. Where do I find His revealed will? Pick up my mind. God reveals His will. Why should I be challenged to refuse? Or I need to use my gift to build up my other or any other things that God shares. But there's another part of God's will that's unrevealed. That unrevealed part of God's will is the will of God in regards to who should I go? Where should I go? What should I do? Because that's not always found clearly in God's word. Particularly if we have two or three or four options. Then later on, it's a very strong reminder how we come here. We have a number of good options. What one do we choose? So remember that it's God's unrevealed will. So I'm going to just share with you a few things that are not comprehensive, but that might be our help for you if you want to make some decisions that's in the area of God's unrevealed will. Now, this is not in any specific order. The first thing is, remember, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. He is a gift of God that helps you. So rely upon Him. The Holy Spirit is living in your heart. Jesus promised that we look beyond. He promised that his disciples, I'm going away, I'm going to send someone to you, a comforter, a counselor, an advocate for you. So you know He's coming. That's what the Bible talks about. John 16 and verse 13, and He that through the truth, the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you toward truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only one year, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Part of His responsibility to guide, direct, can be sure the Holy Spirit is going to be that open to God, taking that strength and happiness to God, so that He might give it in a brand new way. And trust in the Holy Spirit, He meant to God, and God in prayer. Throughout the Bible, many great things did. When they didn't know what they should do, what did they mean? Pray. They prayed. They spoke to God and asked Him for help. If that's your situation, there are some decisions. Pray. The Holy Spirit will guide. Why should I pray? The Father speaks to you in your dreams. Commit to the Lord, whatever you do, and your faith is complete. It doesn't mean that the faith might always be exactly the way you want it, because we're going to follow many more things. But there's a true faith. And we commit what we're thinking about to God. He'll guide you. That is consistently to have trust in God, that when you commit your life to Him, He will guide you. Another way the Holy Spirit leads is through His Word. The Word of God. I need to be reading it. If I'm not reading it, how can I expect God to speak to me? Many people are looking for signs when it comes to, so what should I do for God? I'd like a sign. I think everybody in this room has ever made a decision to God and like to see some neon light say, jump up in the sky there and say, Alan, go here or go there. Everybody in the room is like that there. Put your hand up. Yes, everybody in the room is putting their hand up. Because when we experience that serving God, we won't know what we want. And boy, it'd be easy to just say, this neon light come up in the sky. And that's not going to happen like that. God has been expecting us to trust Him to show faith in Him. And we're not going to know His Son unless we're reading. To share something with you, I want you to know this year. Last year I've been praying to you, I go back to Malaysia. Didn't think I should. I read His Son. Share the Word of all the nations. But you know where I'm going this year? I'm still struggling with it. Maybe go to Malaysia, I believe. Struggle. I was reading God's Word this week. Read God's Word. Another thing, remember, the Holy Spirit does use other people around us to guide us, to give us direction. And it might be good to ask yourself the question, why are the people that I trust today the most important? Where are the people I trust? Specifically in Proverbs, it always talks about the need for guidance, the need for counsel. Quite a number of verses that talk about set that off a counsel. If a bread is in a lap or a counsel, there's always a problem. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans or plans fail for lack of counsel. So the many advice is not succeed. However, remember, you might put forward an idea to someone, they might know what's best for you, but they're thinking about what's best for them. Whatever guidance you're looking for, and maybe you'll be coming from someone, you don't know what you're doing. You have to be aware of that. And many have failed and made terrible messes of their lives because they haven't talked or asked for help. Or if they have asked for help, they actually haven't decided to listen to the help they're given, or they only listen to the help they want to hear. That's true. That's an hard area. But remember, God does guide through other people. He also guides through circumstances. But beware, circumstances are not always in someone. Remember, circumstances, I've got a neon light sign. God says, go through what happened, that circumstance. Remember, we're not looking at just one thing, we're actually putting a lot of things together. They're how God guides, and not to be decision-makers. And remember, you also, once you take a step of faith, may give you a sense of inner peace, may give you a sense of peace for a long time. Because it's very hard to steer a still ship. A moving ship is very easy to discern. But if you're sitting there saying, Lord, I want to do this, should I do that? And you're not doing anything. Or you're not taking a step. It's very hard to go up now. So remember, you need to take a step of faith at some point. And it might be, I'm not going to believe God, I'm standing here. And it may well be that God will give you a sense of peace after life. But it may come back with greater conviction childish thing or those things. God, you know, as long as you see your action is unfired in your heart. You get a sense that action is unfired in your heart. You need to think about that. But that is a picture of an important thing. But also remember that God does carry responsibility. And Jonah is about to do that. Jonah has been a prophet in Israel. And now the responsibility is changing. He's going to be a prophet in an enemy country, in a country of place of sinful wicked, a country where their enemies are not popular. It's a big change.
Yeah.
Remember, responsibilities do change. In our example, I was working with a different organization, in the office of the enemy. The enemy has to be carrying on, he's wanting us to be something else. Not being the officer, not to be a relief line in the field. We started to pray about that. And we prayed about the real God. And one of the things we need to learn is we need to really get up anywhere. Wherever that might be. Carry in mind, it's got to a point where we had heard about this area, we thought about it. And we thought about Tasmania, New Zealand, and also Zambia. Opportunity to serve the Lord is an organization of capacity in this world. And we pray about it. And in the end, my thought was to go to New Zealand, my thought was to go to Tasmania. And then we both thought that can't be lost. Can't be lost. And New Zealand, I was more training, and maybe one of those being involved in the church or whatever it may be. And then we were being involved in the coming. And God, again, through an individual to God, they have to be the next time we heard, I have to say that our attitude was clear. God, I think, will let us pray to and open us to work in this area. And so we can roll the only counsel we want. And we have more open to them because the Lord will come, put us right. And so we can all ask what we believe that this is right. We're going to take a step and we're going to go in that direction. Remember I talked about confirmation?
Yeah,
I know that I'm trying to share with you the confirmation of Mary Ryan to see in the next month. We'll show up here. The inner peace and the confirmation that God gave that this is where it's to be. And you can know that after you've been here all these years, you've had many times and you'll say, is this the right place or not? And you go back to that core when you leave, yes it is, your perspective and the struggle of God. God works. So we need to trust Him. So the Holy Spirit is there to help us. And Jonah has been given that same call, and he is now to make some decisions. So he's got some hindrances, and you and I also have hindrances that come to make decisions regarding the following God. I wonder what hinders you, what hinders me. I wonder what I can think of as fear. I fear. There might be a number of areas. I might fear what I'm going to lose. Going to lose this really right place. Or I'm going to lose, you know, lose the friendship that I have. Or my nearness to family or whatever it might be. Or another fear you might have is, can I even do that thing that God's asking me to do? And I might fear that. I fear the terrible thing because it can cripple me. And it can cripple us in responding to God's call. Or maybe you fear that God can't do what He says. Maybe you fear that. Remember, fear can be a hindrance. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27 says this: the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath of the everlasting arms. He will crush out the enemies from before you, and He will stand destroyed. And He will be that to fear after this. Your darkness. Another difference can be pride. We say, I want to change, or I want to be good, and I want to do what God says, but I don't have to do it right now. That's pride. Bring yourself before God. I'm going to do it later. Or some of us will say, pride in God, but that's not what's best for me. What's best for me is to be here or there. Or I'll do what this month so that I'll have a comfortable and satisfied life. every day I come to the same session, does not come. We have another, you can find a few rich people in your mind. So we come to a place that's true on happiness. But when it comes to eternity, that happiness is not going to make it for bad or good. Because they have the right to try. So try. What can it be? And it's very easy to fall into this trap. I want to do such and such first before I do what's not right. That's the place to be done for me. I want to do this, I want to do that before I want to serve God. So that's pride. So remember, in decision making, we're starting the unrevealed will of God because we know what God wants to do. It's a matter of awareness and power. So the physical, the light and the Holy Spirit is our guide to prayer. God's word, the Bible believing, the circumstances, the confirmation and innocence, and also remember that we might change your responsibility. And that's what happens in Jonah in verse 3. He heard the word, and he's trying to make a decision, and he's trying to decide, and this is his decision. Verse 3. But Jonah, he ran away. And he headed for the went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for a port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarsus to flee from the Lord. And Jonah did run. He took off to run from the Lord. Why? Why would this proven prophet of God run away? What do you think? Well, in fact, God's given you an answer already. One of the hindrances. Pride. He thought he was better than God. He thought, I'm a better judge than jury than God is. The city of Nineveh is a wicked city and they deserve to be punished. If I warn them, as we read in chapter 3 and chapter 4, they might repent, Joseph said, and if they repent, God will give them the universal guidance over the place. And Joseph did not want that. He will pray out. I am better than God, he said. So he runs. He thought maybe the he runs to this place called Tarsus. Three officers are sent to be a place on the coast of Spain. But more recently, there's another study being done, and they actually wonder whether Tarsus might be much further away. Maybe even in South America. Maybe because of a few verses that are mentioned, except for one king connected to Solomon. I'll read the verse for you. From the English standard version, it's not the same way we do internationally. So the king Solomon had a fleet of ships of Tarsus at sea. There's a fleet of pirates. And once every 3 years, the fleets of the ships of Tarsus used to come bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and ephod. So, they're wondering now where the Tarsus may not have been on the coast of Spain, and they have been a lot further afield because of the 3 years. Once every 2 years, the ship then comes. So he's running a long way from God, whether it's Spain or whether it's further away. He's running a long way from God. And by running, he reveals that he misunderstands that he can be outside. And when you and I disobey God, we also reveal a misunderstanding about our God. The first one is we can't hide from God. I think everyone in this room would probably say, right, that. I know I can't hide from God. I'm not a Jonah, a fool of the prophet. Can you imagine trying to run away from the God who created this heaven and the earth? You know, if you honestly can run, Jonah, that's a good idea. Be where you are. And I think many of you say, look, I'm not in trouble like that. Do it, whatever. What about ourselves? I have to bear the end of talking about Jonah being a fool because I'm running away from God's call. Because I know what I'm like when I'm a bit more rebellious against God. That I can go home to this place and think about, oh, I forget that. I'm not going to let my wife speak to the kids or carry them a long way from me. My favourite. So I might start to listen or watch things that are not very helpful or wholesome. What about you? Same sort of things, or the language you learn to use, trying to identify the people you work with, or enough. Or maybe you can't forgive, or you won't, you know, you resent someone that you cross. And you won't do it, yet God says forgive. We think it's much cooler. And say, oh, Jonah, you know, you're a fool, Jonah. You probably shouldn't say that. You should say, oh, Jonah, you're a fool. Because we don't do what God says. We daylight hours. Psalm 139, 109, for a marvelous passage of scripture that describes how much God knows you and I. I'll read the verse, verse 7. Psalm says, where shall I go from your spirit, God? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol or in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall come and cover me, and the light about me be like night, even the darkness is not night to me, or dark to you. The night is bright in the dark, but the darkness is white to you. And we think that sometimes God can't see us because it's dark, we are hiding or running away. But do remember Jacqueline and Stacy playing hide and seek as little children. Some of the same pictures of one of the kids sitting in the head in the box in the back side sitting there, thinking they can't be seen through the hole in the box. God is like that, there for everyone. Or kids, children, they are closing their eyes. They close their eyes, you can't see me, because they can't see me. And we act like that with God, a little toddler. Those little Jonah, and Jonah were all fools. He can hide from them. And Jonah has misunderstood. He cannot hide from God. Another thing that he misunderstood is he can't make a mess of God's plan. Jonah is convinced that God made a mistake. I know better than you. So he runs away. He might have been thinking new things. If I run away, I get as far away as possible from Nineveh, it'll be too late. So I won't get back in time. He's about to find out that the wrong mistake. He might have thought that. Or maybe he thought, if I run away, God will not be able to get someone else to that. No one else will be able to say, my way. Just five foot. He might have thought that. You know that when God has a plan, that plan will always come through. We've seen that a dozen times in scripture. The first one I thought of was, I thought of this as Saul and David. King Saul had a good start, but the real king is David, who needs to come. Saul had an opportunity. Reject your God and move away. You cannot make a mess of God's plan by running away. He will still carry out his responsibility in his dark day. And Paul Warren Wilson said, Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. What that means is he designed his prophetic office. And said, I stopped preaching because I warned him to give it. But he was wrong. He was wrong. The warning was a gift. You can't make a mess of God's plan. Another thing that you misunderstood was about the fact that running away, you do affect other people. When you run away from God, it's going to be never affect others. You're not going to be in a rush about this 6 weeks. But he ran away and he affected the planes, he affected the ship, he affected the cargo, because of his sin. He affected others by running away. These sailors are far more concerned about committing acts of murder than Jonah was concerned about making some errors. They were far more concerned about that. Another thing is forgotten that the Ninevites had not been warned. That's the question that lies at the end of the chapter 4. Who did God care about that? The 120,000 that come, don't know that they're people that didn't like them. What about you? But that's another chapter that we're going to talk about. He has forgotten that his actions affect others, and it also affects those next to them. When he drew the lock, he was found out. What did he have to say? It's me, my form, on the floor. His testimony was affected. He had to admit that his deep problem is him. He was affected because he was picked up by those men who didn't want to do it. And his sons were raising him too. And you know what happens next? What happens next? Well, I can't be. Didn't say a whale, but it might have been. So many will say, no. We're not going to talk about that today. But that is today. We need to be thinking as well. After 3 hour fight. We're not going to talk about this. We're talking about God. And his plans for you and I. God had a plan for you. And you have to wait. Why are you saying you and I? genuine walk toward the Lord. We know the Lord comes down to where and another. So remember that all the Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Now remember this, obedience to God's call.